Good morning. Today is a special day. That's why I'm dressed so neatly. I normally wear this when I do a wedding. And we're speaking about relationships today. And it's just really important. It's for me and my wife, for me and Sonic, relationships are just key to everything. It's, you know, when life works, when relationships work. And so sometimes we need some help. We all need some help. And I'm trusting that today and over this week you're going to get some amazing answers and truth that will help you and guide you on this journey ahead. And so love, I'm going to start off just speaking a bit about love, and we're going to get to falling out of love. But love is inspiring. You see this picture of the heart there? It's like almost like mystical, you know. You're not really sure how to put your finger on it, you know. What is love? And so it grabs our imaginations, you know, so many songs and poems, books and movies, you know, the epic movies, the blockbusters that go to the most watched movies ever. They normally are more than just a good action movie. There's this boat in the middle of it where somebody dies in the end and gives his life for the girl. And while the Titanic goes down, and the epic movie is the movie that touches our hearts. So for the guys, there will be 90% action. Everything blows up, and then that 10% romance moment just kisses her, gets the girl, yes, and we blow something up again. Okay, for the ladies, it's 90% romance. And a little bit of fight somewhere, 10% action, 90% love, I think for most of the ladies, I'm not sure. But love, you know, when a good movie is a movie that touches our hearts. You know, you've seen the action movie, I've seen those movies, and it's action is good, but it doesn't touch my heart. It's good, it's not great. Good, great is when it touches our hearts. And that's what love is about. So everybody has an opinion about love. So a few quotes, I want to give you the romantics. A lady called Judy Garland said, "For it was not into my ear you whispered, but into my heart. It was not my lips you kissed, but my soul." Okay, so all the romantics would love that. Then we have the philosophers like Aristotle. He was trying to figure this thing out, you know, the analytical mind. And he said, love, what is love? Love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies. So the analytical one was trying to figure out, how does this work? Okay, so he said, okay, single soul inhabiting two bodies, like your soul mate. When you find the other one, you find yourself. Then we have the iconic songs, the songs like the Beatles, you know, all you need is love. So we want to play a song, you need to sing along. Are we ready for that? All your phones out, take your phones out, wave them. One more chorus, come on.
All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
Thank you. Okay, so the Beatles say all you need is love. It's the answer. And I agree. But the question is, how do you define love? How do you define love? It's like saying, you know, going to the loo. You know, it's like two definitions of going to the loo. If you're in Mozambique and you're saying you're going to the loo, then it's like a kilometer hike into the bush and you get this hole in the ground and you almost fall into it. You almost get mugged on the way there. You know, your life is at stake. It's dangerous saying I'm going to the loo. Then there's other times going to the loo. It's a 6-star hotel. It's lovely. There are security everywhere. It's marble. You know, everything's marble and lights, massive mirrors. It's A pleasant experience. Okay, so so we find dangerous love excursions and we find more positive ones. Okay, so we're going for this side. Okay, but your definition, okay, it's critical. So we're going to look at what is love. And there's another one, Oscar Wilde, he's an author, and he said, keep love in your heart. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead. That's depressing. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead. Okay, so deep down we all know love. You know, you can't really put your finger on what it is exactly, but we know that it's something we desire. And when we experience it, it affects us in a way that other things don't. But for many, love is like a fleeting dream. We pursue it, we seek it, we find it for a moment, and we lose it again. And so I want to address that this morning. You know, when you get it, how do you keep it? How do you keep love? How do you stay in love? And why do people fall out of love? So I want to address that this morning. But so love is in crisis. Falling out of love. There's no pain like relational pain. When the relationship falls apart, it can feel like someone has died. It's traumatic. It's painful. It's depressing. You can find yourself in deep waters. And as we speak about rescue, relationship rescue, you can find yourself in deep waters. You can be crying out for help. And some of us might have experienced that. I once heard, it was a psychologist. He's like a famous psychologist. He's a psychologist to the famous, the rich and the famous in South Africa, like sports stars and CEOs. I've told this often at weddings. But the psychologist spoke to us and he shared with us that there was once a businessman, a CEO of one of the largest companies in South Africa that came to see him. And he said in this meeting room, in his office, the CEO of one of the largest companies in South Africa, he was weeping like a baby, he was crying like a baby. A man who has thousands of employees, he is rich, he's powerful, he has influence. He has everything most people would dream of, and yet one thing isn't working. His marriage. It's falling apart. And I have seen that everybody that I know, this is sort of the Achilles heel of the strongest of the strong. Relationships, marriage, love. It can bring the strongest to their knees. And so with any of us, it really is make or break. If you lose your marriage, if you lose that relationship, it feels like you lose everything. And so I want to help us this morning. So there are trends. There are trends we're seeing when it comes to love in crisis. We see people moving from relationship to relationship, having this amazing high, the in love feeling, and then it sort of fades after a while. You know, and the two saying, she's perfect. She's saying he's amazing. The in-love feeling. And then they don't realize that this isn't really love. You know, the in-love feeling, it causes us to be blind, a little bit weird, and sometimes completely stupid. But it's wonderful and also extremely dangerous. It's like really going out there, you know, the 1 kilometer hike type of thing. It can be dangerous. But what is real love? Is love that thing, she's perfect, and so, amazing. No, it isn't. Real love is to see somebody's worst and to still love them passionately. Real love isn't to not see the faults. Real love is to see the faults and the weaknesses and yet love them, love the person passionately. The in-love feeling wears off. The in-love feeling wears off, but real love can last for life. And so we find, you know, divorce. Is divorce as easy as upgrading your car? Yeah, I had this one. I'm going to upgrade. Let's go for another one. Some people think it's like that. Just, you know, just upgrade. Cost you a little bit of money, but hey, you know, going to get a new model. Is it that easy? No, it isn't. The pain that goes with it. We tell ourselves it's okay. We tell ourselves everybody's doing it in our society, but we don't realize the pain. I think for me, the It's very close to home in terms of my family, my parents who divorced, and my dad. You know, my dad was living in Cape Town or in Paarl, and he moved to living in a flat after the divorce. He lived in a flat in Cape Town. And, you know, it was a very challenging season for him. He was a very successful businessman. I have loads of respect for him. He's an amazing guy, wonderful man. Love him very much. I remember as a teenager, it was in primary school where they divorced. As a teenager, I remember a few years later sitting with my dad. It was late at night, and he would just share. And then he'd tell of his stories. He would tell of those times. He would tell us of how, you know, it was Christmas Day, and he would go drop us off with my mom's side of the family. He would drive back to his flat alone in Cape Town. Then he would go to a restaurant, and he would get his bottle of wine, and he would just read and drink. And you sit there and weep and say, God, why me? Why me? Why has this happened to me? What is this? Just the pain. And I can just relate so much to that. And the prayer that he must have prayed, that Psalm 144 verse 7, that's sort of the theme scripture. It says, reach down from heaven and rescue me. Rescue me from deep waters. And so many people have cried out prayers to God in that time of pain. Different types of prayers, but in that pain, crying out, God, this is so painful. This is so depressing. This is so lonely. I'm so disappointed. This is so devastating. You see, it's not just like upgrading a car. It is an incredible pain that goes with it. And so my dad says, after going through his divorce, he would, when one of his friends' business colleagues would come to him and say, he's thinking of divorcing, you'd sit him down. Okay, whoa. Let me speak to you. Do you realize this is going to cost you? Finances, it's going to be awkward, it's going to be painful, it's going to be all these things depressing. It's going to be painful. Don't do it. And so he often sits with people and says, don't do it. You know, and I want to say this morning, don't do it. Fight for your relationships at every cost. Do whatever it takes. I've spoken to people that said their parents say their dad is like third marriage or so. And then the dad would say, oh, it's so much harder second and third time. If only I put in a third of the effort I'm putting in now. If I put the third of the effort in my first marriage, it would have worked. It gets harder. It gets harder. And so I want to give you keys this morning to help you and me to be in healthy relationships. I want to rescue a few relationships here if you're in a crisis. If you're not, I want to help you avoid a future crisis. I want to give you keys to help you avoid a future crisis. And so the question is, why do people fall out of love? 1,000 reasons that people could give. They could say, well, finances, she's so irresponsible. Or he. We fight all the time. She's a witch and controlling. He's a pig and incredibly selfish. It's just boring. There's no love. We're different people. Things have changed. We've moved apart, so far apart. There's no way to reconcile it again. And so people give all these reasons for why they are going to walk out of the relationship, even a dating relationship, to walk out of the relationship. So why do people fall out of love? Why? Is it those reasons or is there another reason? There's another reason. The issue isn't the issue. The issue isn't the issue. We don't fall out of love. We fall out of repentance. This is what the truth I want to share with you. We don't fall out of love. We fall out of repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is to have a change of heart. When you repent, it's a biblical concept. When you repent, you get a new heart. My heart prop for the morning. If you have a heart like this, it's dark, it's black. It's hard. When you repent, it's a heart that turns and gets a nice, it's a Woolies box. Then you get a nice Woolies there at the bottom. Okay, so you get A heart that turns. A heart that was hard, that becomes soft. That's to repent. That's to repent. Repentance in its essence is to have a heart change. Have you heard the idiom before? That he had a change of heart. Something happened. Something radically happened to him or to her. They had a change of heart. Repentance is saying, I am sorry. You see, when we stop saying, I'm sorry, when we stop saying, I forgive you, then our hearts become hard, callous. And we seem to fall out of love, and we find ourselves with a hard heart. And suddenly there's this wall between you and your partner. There's this wall. And you say there's no love in the relationship anymore. But there is. If you just remove the wall. If you remove the wall around your heart, love will flow back. This happens so easily. Just even in our relationship, so often it's just something small that has upset me. And then suddenly I was all lovey-dovey 10 minutes ago. Now I'm like, ah, you know, don't touch me. You know, I'm like, ah. I would tell my wife, no, I need to go pray. You know, I need to go sort something out now. I'm upset. I'm like, I'm over here. And then I go pray and I go deal and sometimes I'm upset. And now I go off, storm off, and I go sit somewhere. I'm going to read my Bible now or whatever. Be on the internet and read some news or just do something. I'll sit there and I'll hear, it's like a gentle knock on my heart. No. Leave me alone. I get this gentle, gentle Holy Spirit coming and saying, go back. You know, she's upset now. She knows she's not. You know, there's probably tears in her eyes. And you're punishing her. Stop it. Stop punishing her. Okay. I'm sorry, Lord. Liefie, ek is jammer. And then she says she's sorry, and I say, I'm sorry. Then we hug, and it's red hearts hugging, and it's beautiful. But 10 minutes ago, it was hard. It was like, you know, that woman. You know, there's no love in this relationship. It happens in a moment. So easy, and normally something silly, something small that upsets us in our relationships, and we go black, and we can, and repentance. You see, we don't fall out of love, we fall out of repentance. We don't fall out of love, we fall out of repentance. We forget, we stop to say, I am sorry. We forget and we stop to say, I forgive you. That is the essence. That is the essence of it. The heart, it is the seat, the center of all our relationships. All our relationships flow forth from our hearts. If your heart is black, if your heart is dark, if your heart is bitter, your relationships will be the same way. If your heart is soft and pliable and humble and gentle, you will have good relationships. The sign of a sick heart is to blame the other one. That's a sign of a sick heart. Tendency to blame. Same tendency of the dark heart is to say, it's all her fault. It's all his fault. It's all their fault. It's not my fault. And so what is love? Love isn't a feeling. Love is a daily choice. A choice. A choice to love that leads to a feeling. To lead to that in love feeling. But you need to get the hardness out. The issue isn't the issue. The issue is our hearts. Let me say that again. You might have many excuses. You might have many reasons that you are saying why this relationship isn't working or my friendships even aren't working. The issue isn't the issue. The issue is our heart. It is our heart. It's easy to justify ourselves. It's easy to say why I'm right, she's wrong, or why you are right and he is wrong. It's so easy. I found it. I do this so naturally. My wife says I am gifted to justify myself. And some of us logical thinking men, we do the same. You are legendary in justifying yourself and showing your wife it's you. It's not me. That's the wrong heart attitude. Turn it around. See where you're going wrong and say you are sorry. You see, you can be 100% right and still be wrong if love isn't in the equation. In other words, guys, we can be 100% logically correct. Women, you are this and this and this. Obviously, look, tears, come on. You are overreacting and over emotional. See, I am composed. And I'm explaining to you why you are the issue. Come on, guys. You know what I'm talking about. You can be 100% right and still wrong if you are unloving and unkind to your partner. Is love in the middle of it? And so the myth of blame, it's called the myth of blame. We blame shift. It's always somebody else. It's never us. It's never my fault that something goes wrong. It's never me. And I've so related to this. I've so been there. When I was an 18, 19-year-old young man, I was quite a proud and bitter young man. And I remember in everything I was doing, my heart was absolutely this, black, dark, selfish. I would blame everyone. It never was me until I met Jesus. This amazing thing happened when I met Jesus. You know, I was blaming my mom. I hated her. And I was blaming the girlfriend and the boyfriend that took my girlfriend. And I was like angry. It was amazing. When I turned to Jesus, He was like, God came to me. Same thing happening these days. Holy Spirit, gentle knock. Do you realize, that's what God asked me, do you realize that you hate your mom? I never realized that. My heart was so hard on God, I didn't realize I hated my mom. And I had to make right with my mom. And then the Holy Spirit came again. Do you realize that you hate your ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend? Yes, I think I realized that. It was unbelievable. I mean, on a university campus, everywhere I would go, I would find the two sitting somewhere looking into one another's eyes. And I'm like, God, no. And I was somewhere else and vrachis weer. And again and again, I was so angry at them. And I never forget, I was standing outside of our hostel. This was a guy, a senior in the hostel, who stole my girlfriend. But I was an idiot at that stage, so it's fine. I really didn't deserve it. You know, so, but I didn't realize. So I remember standing outside the hostel and wrestling with God. Was He there? Well, you can see Him, but there was this wrestle in my heart. Holy Spirit was knocking, saying, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. I wrestled until I got that breakthrough. I said, God, I forgive them. And I got up, and I've told this before, but I went to this guy's room. I knocked. He said, come in. Door went open, and there they were sitting on the bed. Friendly. And so they were like, whoa, okay, because they know I've already cussed them out. I was a very rough diamond. And so they were terrified of what's coming now. You could see them like, whoa. And so I stood there and I really dealt with the Lord. I've gone from black to, you know. And so I just said, guys, I just want to say, you know, I've turned to the Lord. And I just want to say, I forgive you guys. And I'm sorry for what I've done. I just want to bless your kids and everything, your kids you're going to have. And just... I just wanted to make them a bit uncomfortable, so I just put in something there. But the freedom of forgiving someone that I despise and hated. You know, when you hate somebody, you're angry at somebody, it just hurts yourself. Hard heart, and it destroys all your relationships. It becomes the filter through which you view all your relationships. It's the way you respond to the next girlfriend, next boyfriend, next guy or girl. It really affects us. Forgive. It's part of repentance. Forgive and see your heart go soft. So why do people divorce? Any ideas? Why do people divorce? There's 100 different reasons. Jesus gives us one reason, and I think he cuts it right to the core. He cuts it to the core. Matthew 19, verse 8. Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, that's why you divorce. Isn't that amazing? God knows. That's the power of Scripture, the power of God's Word. It's like he just cuts right to the chase. Why are people divorcing? Hard hearts. That's the essence of it. And Jesus cuts to it clearly, simply. Often one person, one party would start to get a hard heart. Their heart would turn away from their partner, and then they would do things that would inflict damage on their partner, and their partner's soft heart will also, and then you have two black hearts fighting one another. And I know many of us have experienced this. So why do people divorce? Hardness of heart. Okay. Just another area that I want to touch on. It's one of the biggest love killers. It's called lawlessness. Lawlessness, the love killer. Jesus goes on in Matthew 24:10. He speaks about the last times, the last seasons. And he says in verse 10, and then many will be offended, like bitter, angry, unforgiving. Then they will, they were over here, nice, soft, gentle heart. Somebody does something to them, it inflicts damage to their heart, or they do something to themselves that inflict damage to their heart, it goes black. And then he tries to defend self, and then he betrays. And then he goes to hatred, where the love is gone. And then in verse 12 it says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. What is that lawlessness? Jesus said lawlessness will abound. We see this in our society. It doesn't speak about like the Old Testament law. It speaks about God's eternal laws. And you have them on different levels of life. God created everything. He designed everything. If you don't believe it, just trust me for now. He designed everything. And then he put down laws, like physical laws, like gravity. And he says, okay, right, if you jump off the 10-story building, you're going to break this law, and it's going to break you. Okay, you're going to break the law, you're going to break this law of don't jump off buildings, is going to hurt you, and you're going to feel the pain of gravity. Or you're going to break the law of life. In other words, you need water for life. So you decide, I don't need water for life. I'm not going to drink water for the next week. And you're going to feel the pain of breaking that law. You need water for life. It's just a law of life. So that's in the natural. Then in the physical, then you have relational laws like be faithful to your spouse. Break this one and you will see the pain, the shame, the hatred, the anger, the disappointment. You break that law, it's like jumping off relationally. If you're unfaithful to your partner, it is like jumping off a 10-story building. It is like not drinking water for a week. Pain and death follows. So that's a relational law. Then there are spiritual laws as well, like you shall have only one God, Jesus Christ, and serve no other. So Jesus says that there will come a time there will be rampant lawlessness. And the result of that lawlessness is that the love of many will grow cold. And in our relationships, it's the same. It's like you could have been over here and we could love one another and it's wonderful. We feel close. There's intimacy. There's love. And then lawlessness happens. Another way of explaining it is like there's like this middle road, the good road, is this God's road. It's the good path over here. If you stay on that road, love will flourish. If you step outside of it, love will flow away. I'll give you a few examples. Pornography is a good example. Try it out. Love your wife, do pornography, and wonder why you don't love her so much anymore. And your heart is going everywhere else to other people. Pornography, that's part of lawlessness. That's just one example. Another example would be words that are unkind. When we speak words that inflict damage on our partner, then we wonder why they don't love us so much anymore. You don't experience the in love feeling because you have caused a black heart. You have damaged someone. You see, lawlessness, the word love there, it says it's actually the word agape, which means unconditional love. Jesus said, in the last days, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. It speaks of Christians, believers, who are supposed to have unconditional love. Their unconditional love becomes conditional. I realized a few weeks ago, I was like, Sonica, my wife said one or two small things that sort of just scratched me up, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm angry and I don't really know why, you know, and then I realized, you know, it's like in that situation, you can blame your partner and say, how dare you say something like that? Or you can turn around and say, yo, why am I so sensitive? Why is my love so conditional? Why am I so quickly to jump on my, climb up my perky? Because I realized, it was something I've been working through the last few weeks. I've been realizing my heart was like this, but life has happened. People have disappointed me. My heart and my love has started to become conditional. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. You love me, I love you. Speak well of me, I speak well of you. Everybody does that. What's special about that? That's not special love. That's not unconditional love. So your love becomes conditional. You see, small things become big things when love is conditional. Massive things become manageable when love is unconditional. I'm going to keep loving you, even if you disappoint me, even if you fail me, even if you do this or this or this, I'm still going to love you. Unconditional love. How many Christians don't do unconditional love? How many of us find ourselves in a place where we start being more judgmental and pointing of the finger than just loving? How many in our relationships, in our marriages? It's so easy. I think it's just so easy to lose this. So how do we stay in love? How do we get love back? If it's gone cold, how can we get it hot again? How do we stay in love, not just for a week or a month or a year, but for life? Is it possible? I'll share two things. The first one is, you need to know the source of unconditional love. There's only one source of unconditional love. It's God. He is God, the God of love, the God who loves unconditionally. And to be able to give unconditional love, let me ask you this. Who wants to be able to give unconditional love? Who wants to be able? It's the only hope for a truly intimate relationship for life. Unconditional love. Because your partner will fail you. All the single people, I've got bad news for you. Your partner is not going to be perfect. Okay, I hope you know that now you know, okay? All the married people say, we know, we know. To give unconditional love, you must first receive it. And for some of us, to give unconditional love, we must first receive it again. First receive it again. Look at this powerful verse, 1 John 4:19. It's in the ESV translation. Some translations add a little word there. But this is what it actually says. It says, we love because he first loved us. You should have received a little heart. That's the verse on there. We love because he first loved us. He gives us the capacity to love. He gives us the ability to love unconditionally. He gives us the capacity to truly love. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 gives us the definition from this God of love, he revealed to Paul the apostle what love is. And let me read that to you. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, keeps no record of being wronged. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love never fails. Do you know that's a perfect representation of how I was? Just the complete opposite. If I had to read this for where I was at before I became a Christian, and I sometimes fall back into it still, when my heart becomes a little bit hard, you could have said of me, love, Andre, is impatient and unkind. He is absolutely jealous and boastful and proud. He demands his way every single time. He is incredibly irritable. He keeps record of every wrong. I did. I would build a case. I would build a case of everything the other party's done wrong, and just give me an opportunity, I'm gonna tell you. Keeps record of every wrong. I gave up. I lost faith. I walked away from the relationship. I was the exact opposite until I met Jesus. And sometimes I still find myself in the black heart scenario, and then I have to come to God and say, okay, Lord, give me a little bit more of that unconditional love. Give me a little bit more. Just come and touch my heart. Cleanse me and wash me. So I know some people are always looking, you know, who's the Antichrist? Who's the Antichrist? You know, I was the Antichrist. And so are some of you. The opposite of what we are supposed to be. So forget of whoever's the Antichrist. Look at yourself. Am I Christ-like? Am I forgiving and loving? Do I have a soft heart? Am I Christ-like? So that's you need to know the source of unconditional love. Jesus is the expert in cleansing and softening hearts. Jesus defined love and he showed us how. He was innocent when he walked on the earth. Do you know none of us are innocent? In our relationships, none of us are innocent. We are always to blame for at least a part of the problem. Always. Jesus was completely innocent. And yet, people spat on him, beat him, whipped him, cussed him, took him to a cross, crucified him, ripped his flesh apart. He was innocent. He was innocent. He didn't deserve it. Yet, in hanging on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That is so powerful. Get that as a slogan for your relationships. Father, I forgive my spouse, for she doesn't know what she did there. Father, I forgive my partner, for he didn't know what he was doing there. So Jesus gives us the standard of love, and then he comes alongside as he puts his arm around us, and he says, you battling? Hard to forgive? It's bad what they did to you? They did worse to me. I promise you. Let me give you the grace. Let me give you the power. Let me give you the ability to forgive. If you do not forgive, your heart will be dark and cold and hard, and all your relationships will be affected. Your heart is the center of all your relationships. If you do not forgive, it will bring destruction to all your relationships, beginning with your marriage. But Jesus comes to us and he says, I will enable you to forgive. You need help? Jesus says, I'll help. I'll help. Just ask. Just ask, and he'll come and help. He'll break down that outer wall around our hearts. And many of us are sitting here, and you're saying, you might think, I don't really have issues. I think you do. It's amazing that you can walk through life and not be aware of your own heart and of all the disappointments that has come along the road. And it builds up little by little until it becomes a hard wall. Relational destruction affects us. Relational disappointments affects us. What people do to us, it affects us. And we don't even realize it. Jesus wants to set you free. This morning, He wants to set you free. And so I want to encourage you with our life groups. There are two curriculums that I just want to highlight. The one is the bait of Satan. It's a curriculum about being offended, disappointed in people. If you have to deal with some stuff, join that group. Another group, Laugh Your Way to a Happier Marriage. It's a marriage prep enrichment course. It's brilliant. Really going to help you in your relationship. Sign up for it. It will really, truly bless you. And over this next week, we will be unpacking what I'm sharing this morning. We're going to unpack it in different ways, give you some practical, really, really practical tools for your relationships. Okay, so we know, ending off with this. The source of unconditional love is God, Jesus. He showed us man, God become man, man die on a cross, innocent, and He forgave. How do we access that unconditional love? And the answer is repent. The answer is have a change of heart. The answer is to pray to God. As in Psalm 51, this is David, King David. He messed up. He was lawless. He took another man's wife, slept with her, and murdered her husband. He thought he got away with it. Then the prophet comes and says, no, you are this man. God sees all. And then in Psalm 51, you can read the whole psalm at home. But then he prays and he speaks to God. He said, God, against you and you alone have I sinned. In other words, he took responsibility. Are you taking responsibility for your relationships or are you blame shifting? Are you taking responsibility? And then he prayed and he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a steadfast spirit. So he said, God, create in me a clean heart. I realize my heart is dark and black and hard. God, create in me a clean heart and place in me a steadfast spirit. All relational sin or lawlessness is sin against God, essentially. And then Ezekiel 18:31. God speaking to the Israelites, and he's saying, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die? That's so powerful. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die? You see, if your heart is black, you're going to die. On one level or another, there will be death in our relationships. When we are humble and forgiving and repentant, then there is hope for us. The worship team, you guys can come forward. So how do we access this unconditional love? You know, for some of us, I think we need a complete overhaul, a complete renewal of our hearts and our relationships. God, give me a new heart. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to remove the hardness around my heart. You know, maybe some of us have been married for 20, 30 years. You know, maybe the love is just not there anymore. The excitement about the relationship isn't there anymore. You can get it back. When a relationship works, I realize this over and over again. When my relationship with my wife, when it really works, I mean, not just works, we're not just not fighting. It's like there's intimacy, there's affection, there's a celebration of one another. Life works. And so I want to encourage you. Maybe you have gone through some form of relational devastation, maybe divorce, whatever it might have been. Might be. There is hope for a fresh beginning. The thing is just you need to deal with your past. If you don't deal with the anger and the hardness of heart, it will affect you. And so this morning, Jesus comes and He is knocking at the door of our hearts. Even as the Holy Spirit comes to me often and knocks, go make right. Go make right with your wife. Go tell her you're sorry. I know the Holy Spirit this morning is knocking on some of our hearts. Some people have sinned against you in relationships. Maybe your spouse. You need to deal with it. For some of us, you have sinned against others. You have done wrong. You have caused somebody's gentle heart to become hard and bitter. You were responsible. Take responsibility this morning. Help somebody else. Rescue somebody else from their despair. Rescue them from deep waters. Go to someone and say, I am sorry for what I've done to you. I am sorry that I was so selfish. I am sorry that I was so proud and so justified myself. I am sorry for what I did to you. Forgive me. You can set somebody free. You can set somebody free. You can set somebody free.